This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is Spingola Speaks, and, well, this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting, as always, from the Chicago suburbs, and I would like to thank you for joining me today. I say this every week, but particularly today, I think it's it just takes on a lot more meaning, and I would like to invite you to visit my website, which I'll tell you in a minute why I invite you to visit my website every week, but there's a particular reason this week. Anyway, if you wish to look at the radio schedule button, well, I'll tell you right now, that's a pretty good idea, because I used to send out a list or an email to all of the people that signed up on this very free, very easy to use Yahoo list. It was great. It was free. I had a lot of people on that list, and only a fraction signed up to be on the new list, for which I had to pay $20 a month. And I thought, not doing that. And so I killed the list, because you're all very adult, and you can look on my website and you can look and see who I'm having on the program, which you can do, as I say, every week. You visit Spingola.com, you click on the radio schedule button, and you see who's going to be on the program. And the other reason I'm really happy that you have tuned in to Republic Broadcasting, where you can handle the truth, is that there are, and I have a Twitter account, which I enjoy tweeting, but just since, well, this week, especially since yesterday and today, they have been just getting rid of followers. I saw my Twitter account go down. Some people have lost, they had just a lot of followers. They lost maybe 10% of all their followers. And I know that Facebook, of course, censored. There's other venues out there that you can visit, Parler, Facebook, and then Twitter. But they're all owned and operated by people who can't handle the truth, and they don't want anybody else telling the truth, so they are slashing the numbers on people's Twitter accounts pretty much across the board, and people are losing big numbers. The guest that I had on last week lost probably 20, 30,000 followers, and I've never really participated in Facebook. But as I mentioned, it's highly censored, and so alternative radio is a good choice, and it is for people who can handle the truth. So anyway, that's my story for today. Anyway, okay, our guest today is Tony Pantelaresco, and his website is augmentinforce.50webs.com, and there's a lot of stuff on this website, and today we're going to be talking about, well, some of the things that are happening But we had this very lengthy conversation during the week or the week before or the week before and during the week about brainwashing and how we got to this point. It's pretty miraculous, actually. Well, it's been incremental, of course, but this past week with everything that has happened at the Capitol, and as I mentioned before, I haven't had my television plugged in since March, so I refuse to listen to it because actually if you listen to your TV or watch it, that's the best way of getting COVID. So if you don't turn your TV on, you probably are relatively safe. Anyway, we're going to have a great program today. I just got done minutes ago from participating in my continuing education as a energy medicine practitioner, which I just really, really love. And so I thought, gosh, it's going to be a very, very busy Saturday to do a class and then hop onto the radio and do a program. But it's all good. It's all fun. It's all wonderful. Anyway, I've also experienced some trouble with my computer. It's a relatively new computer, not last week, the week before, I had a serious Skype went out. I couldn't get it connected even when I tried to hard start the modem. It just wouldn't do anything. So I had to reboot the computer. And meanwhile, thank goodness my guest just kept talking. So, Tony, if all of a sudden there's silence from my end, just keep talking. I know you can do this. I'm really...
Okay, there we go. I'm here.
So, but I know you can keep talking. If all of a sudden there's nothing coming from my end, you just keep talking, okay? And before we get started on this, if any of my listeners are still using bentonite clay or diatomaceous earth, you really need to stop. It totally destroys your insides. The other thing is if you are drinking distilled water, which a lot of people do, then you need to add trace minerals. And if you're distilling your water with a countertop distiller, and then you're putting the water in plastic, I hate to say it, but you're an idiot. Because the reason that people distill their water is to avoid the plastic. So if you're distilling your water, put it in glass. Use glass for everything you can. Get rid of your aluminum cookware. Don't use aluminum foil. I just started reading a book called The Age of Aluminum. Get rid of your aluminum foil and your aluminum cookware. I know you can't tear the siding off your house if you have aluminum siding, but that's really a great book. It's one of the four or five that I'm reading this week. Anyway, our guest today is Tony Pantelorescu. And I believe I said that. And the website is augmentinforce.50webs.com, and I'll post that in chat room. Tony, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. And you?
I made it. I had this thing up all day just so there wouldn't be a screw up. And then Skype decided to give me a hiccup. So I had to just make three attempts to get on here. So why are we here?
Wow. Okay, I'm going to post your website in the chat room. And of course, we invite you to the chat room, which is spingola.chatango.com. Okay. And here we are. And this has been a remarkable week, to say the least. I only know what I see on. Oh, you don't need to do the audio or the visual thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's.
I'm so used to turning it on every time I talk to somebody.
Yeah. Well, I don't have visual on this monitor. It's a big monitor, my desktop monitor. And on my laptop, I usually cover my visual unless I'm doing a Zoom class or something. It's just my paranoia that's kicking in.
I always get people when I'm talking, I can't see your face,
That's okay. Anyway, this week has been really, really something. I don't know what to say about it. It's, like I said, I haven't had my TV on, so I really don't know. And I wouldn't get the truth via the television to begin with. I think that you could only get the truth from somebody that was actually there. But somebody, a woman was shot and killed. And apparently they were actually, some of the guards that was supposed to be taken care of guarding the Capitol building were actually leading the people up to where the offices were. So it's just amazing. And people say, oh, Trump was behind it and Trump has pretty much conceded. And I don't know. Do you have any thoughts or comments about
this? I actually thought that maybe the whole thing was filmed in a theatrical stage, and this is what honestly, I've come to the conclusion that probably 80% of the stuff we're watching is filmed in a stage setting somewhere, and then they put it on the media to make it look like it's realistic, and so everybody falls for it. Because how many times have we heard somebody getting shot and all of a sudden they're still alive, or somebody's alive and all of a sudden they're dead? So I don't even pay attention to that crap. I think all that is nothing but a distraction to keep everybody from looking at what's really going on, how your rights are being eroded, how you're being assimilated to this new technocratic system, how this fake bunk on the whole Corona Bonona nonsense, you know, the COVID vaccines. I mean, we're not hearing any news. How many people are actually dying or becoming debilitated from the COVID vaccine?
There were figures. I posted a figure. In fact, I probably got it from you.
What I'm referring to is we're not really focusing on that. We're focusing on this political circus that's going on.
Right.
So everyone's watching the circus, but we're not really seeing that these numbers are actually escalating daily every time they infect people with this. The solution that they're giving, and we're not focusing on the fact that they are completely eroding everything that in order to reestablish this new reset that they're bringing in there. And how many times are we actually seeing neighborhoods of businesses being shut down? Nobody's there. Stores are closing. People are out of a job. How many times are we seeing, for instance, the political people in power who are advocating this whole, you know, scamdemic, I call it, and they're not wearing a mask. They're not wearing what I call the hand condoms. They're not complying to any of the regulations they're forcing everybody else to comply to.
Plus, you know, they're traveling. Yeah. Plus, they gave themselves a raise with the stimulus package that they recently passed in order to send more money to Israel.
There you go.
The whole thing is just...
If it's not
bizarre.
Going to Israel, it's going to China. If it's not going to China, it's going to Israel. Now Israel's developing this fake meat, you know, and
I call it a
bio weapon because people are going to, you know, fall for the nonsense. Oh, it's going to, you know, leave less of an imprint on the planet. Yes, the reason why there's going to be less of an imprint on the planet is because majority of you are going to be dead from eating that crap that they're producing.
Right.
So, again, and I like the way they word things sometimes, in regarding to, we are leaving less of an imprint. We have no say on the imprint of this planet. The people that run the planet, the people that control the planet, they're the ones making the imprint, and yet then they throw that nonsense back on the general population, and then the general population actually repeatedly fall for that rhetoric over and over again, and so now you got people doing some of the dumbest things, thinking that they're going to actually save the planet instead of dealing with the people that are creating the problem in the first place.
Exactly.
So, I look at so many different things with so many different angles and dimensions these days, and I'm just shocked that people, A, have lost the ability to be an individual, B, they have become incapacitated in the ability to not only be able to read, but to actually understand what they're reading. I gauge them now these days at about second grade reading level, if they're at that point now.
People are so used to watching video because they've been programmed via the television to get everything from a visual content, and it's terrible. I have been a reader all my life, and just about everything I've ever learned, I've learned from reading, including decorating a cake. I had this little cake decorating business when I was living in California, and I bought this catalog from Wilton, which turns out I moved very, very close to where they used to be in business. And so I bought their catalog, and then I bought a book, and I practiced, and I learned how to decorate a cake, and I made wedding cakes from a book. And so reading is how I get most of my information. Rarely do I get any information. Well, people are usually visual, kinesthetic. They get things by watching something, which is good. I'm not saying that you should not watch like a demonstration of how energy medicine works or whatever it is that you're doing. These things are good, but you must supplement. They're supplemental to what I do. I'm a reader. And so I read a lot, and oh my gosh, I just can't believe that people aren't reading.
Well, I did a show on my pod a couple of days ago.
Now, you're no longer with the Micro Effect, right?
No, I haven't been
there. It's gone.
I had relocated. They shut down for a while, and I think they're back up and running down in Georgia somewhere. But, I mean, I branched out on my own once they shut down, so I've been going solo. And so I've been using things. I started off with podcasts. Now I'm on Podbean. I've been there for a while. So I do my shows. I do three shows a week. Sometimes I may do four if something dramatic comes up. But I try to gauge the shows every other day so that anybody can go back even a month and listen to the shows and get caught up real quick where we're at and what we're doing and so forth. So, no, I haven't done a Micro Effect for quite some time, actually.
Okay. Years ago, they were kind of competitors of RBN, I've been with RBN for over 10 years, and I'm just grateful to have this opportunity. The things that are going on are just, who would have thought that we would have seen this situation in our lifetime where so many people are programmed to believe that they have a disease even if they don't have any symptoms. And apparently not having a symptom is one of the symptoms. Okay.
The thing about that is they caught the disease from television.
Right. That's exactly right. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, we are back. And our guest today is Tony Pantelaresco. His website is augmentenforce.50webs.com. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, because you said...
I couldn't open up to your chat room for whatever reason, so I'm unable to open, so...
It's spingola.chatango.com.
Yeah, that's what I clicked.
Weird.
Well, I have that problem sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's okay. And they won't let me in.
Maybe they know you.
Well, it's possible. I've been around for a while, so that's a potential problem.
I'm teasing you, you know. Okay, so we were talking before we went to the break about all the nonsense. We do have some sound bites that are on my schedule page. One of them is very lengthy, and we won't play that one today, but it's about Princess Diana. And that, I watched that, maybe a month ago. And I was so stricken by it, because I remember getting up really, really early in the morning and watching the wedding. I had my first computer, a Leading Edge Model D. It was a long time ago. And I got up and watched the wedding, and then I kind of followed. I'm not interested in the royal family. They're a bunch of, they're not very nice people. But there was something intriguing about her. She didn't quite belong there. I thought she was too good for them. And anyway, I watched the video, and I was chatting with you via Skype, and you had also watched it, and they murdered her, and I believe it had a lot to do with Prince Andrew and his association with Jeffrey Epstein, and They did it in such a way that they, she was in that tunnel for 3 hours. She was royalty. She should have been totally, and she was in Paris, and she had just come back from a yacht trip, and she had decided to, she had a gentleman friend that she'd been friends with, friends, lovers, with for quite some time, and of course her husband, what a jerk he is, had been fooling around with his current wife, for most of the time that they were married. It wasn't really a marriage per se, but I don't believe that he had her knocked off so that he could get married or because that had already occurred. They had gotten a divorce. She was murdered to keep her quiet because I believe that she was going to divulge a lot of things about the royal family and the pedophilia and all the things that were going on within the government community, not just with the royals, but I even hate to call them royals, with that very, very evil family. So what are your thoughts on that?
So that was another theme that was going on at the time, that if she would have left and went to the Middle East, that she would have taken the bloodline with her, the two mm-hmm. kids that she had. So they had to prevent that from happening as well, because now the bloodline would no longer be in the control of the royal family. So there was that aspect of it too. I mean, I don't think when you're in those circles, you don't really have any freedom. It's all about show. It's all about appearance.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, politically, presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, what they portray most of the time is not any reality. But again, when you got people that don't know how to read, or can barely read, or have any other venue other than television or radio, which is nothing but a frequency device to alter your thinking or program you, then it's all about a presentation to the general population to appease or to appeal to their emotions or whatever, to get them to be swayed to whatever they want you to believe. So I think she knew she was done. I think she knew she was in a jail. I think they had her married because of her bloodline. But there was a lot more. But like I said, that would never have came out.
Yes. Alrighty, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back, and then we'll play one of those short clips. Be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, we are back. Our guest is Tony Pantelaresco, and his website is augmentenforce.50webs.com, and I will post that in the chat room and during the program so that you may see it. Okay, let's have one of those short clips. Mr. Producer, do you have one that... Tony, did you go to my website and is there one?
No,
that you
I just figured I'd let you call the shot. So we'll go. No.
Okay, why don't we do? Let's do number one. That sounds like a pretty good thing. Okay, go ahead.
You wrote the song "Turning Teeth." For Jesus and the Brides of Dracula, and the codes and the music. I found the tunnels and the bomb shelter.
Okay.
So what does it all mean?
Oh.
You come and sit down. Yeah.
That Kurt Cobain's Fender Mustang guitar?
Oh, I don't know. Probably. I don't remember. I have so many things.
Can I pick it up?
I don't always worry what the message is. I just pass it along. I slip it between the notes. Hide it away from people that know it's there.
You're saying you've done this before? Codes?
I wrote the music your dad grew up to. Half of what you sang along to as a kid, and I'm still doing it. And these teenagers are dancing to my music. I want it that way. Tell me why.
You're telling me there's hidden messages in old pop songs?
Movies, television shows. Everything you know.
Why?
That's pop culture, isn't it? Floats away like tissue paper. Yeah, I blow my nose. I find a used Kleenex. I recycle it. And there is your wedding song. Here it comes. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me.
What are the tunnels for? Is there going to be a war?
Oh, hell, I don't know. I'm just trying to make a living, earn a few dollars.
Well, you have everything.
No.
You know this girl?
Well, isn't she pretty? Earth Angel. Earth Angel.
She was killed.
Oh, won't you be mine?
Well, along with Jefferson Sevens, but I think you already knew that. Huh?
No, I did not. I don't care what's fashionable or cool. It's all silly and it's all meaningless. I created so many of the things that you care about. The songs that give your life purpose and joy. When you were 15 and rebelling, you were rebelling to my music. Uh-oh. That's what you know. That song was not written on distorted guitar. No. I wrote it here on piano somewhere between a blowjob and an omelet. There is no rebellion. There's only me earning a paycheck.
I don't believe you.
Well, good. Because the real message was not meant for you. So it's better if you just smile and you dance and you enjoy the melody. Because this ugly old man, me, I am the voice of your generation. Your grandparents, your parents, and all the young people that follow you. I love rock and roll. Drop another dime in the jukebox, baby. Oh, look at you. Everything that you hoped for, that you dreamed about being a part of, is a fabrication. Your art. Your writing. Your culture. Is the shell of other men's ambitions. Ambitions beyond what you will ever understand.
That's funny to you.
Well, it's a little bit funny. Don't you think? Because I wrote this. And I wrote this. And I wrote this.
Stop it.
And I wrote this too.
Stop it. Who's paying you to write these songs? Who's paying you to write these songs?
Oh, shit.
Well, that really sounded, when you first sent me the link, Tony, I watched it, but now just listening to it had even more impact on me.
Well, just think, that was a conversation with Lucifer.
Yes.
That's what that was all about, and that has been the reality since the 50s. Our whole everything, whatever we're watching on television, whether it be the TV evangelicals, whether it be the political leaders, whether it be some kind of sitcom, look at Friends. Friends probably had the most impact on a generation, of millennials. And everybody started acting like these people on television. And they were being paid $1 million an episode near the end. And when you look at everything, everything from the current trends, transgenderism, gayism, new ageism, the new age. I had a document written back in 1960, and it was the game plan to, and they say it in their document, this was a CIA document saying that it was the stupefaction of a people. And all these beliefs, all these ideologies, these churches that have sprung up, whether they're Christian, Judaic, Islamic, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever they may be, the native, the concept of the Great Spirit, the universal, all that crap was all created by the CIA. They've taken aspects of these belief systems and they contorted them and created a whole new ideology. Even the rock and roll music, the stuff that we're listening to, the flower power, which was all about the sexual revolution anyway. Everything that we have seen in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, right to the current time, has brought us to where we are at today. Because they have completely derailed us from any perspective of any real reality or truth. And the two world wars that had occurred was the same thing. It was all agenda, propaganda, bunk, BS. It was all a conception or perception that they had put into the minds of the people. Now, I always say that during the Second World War, the United States did not get into the war till halfway through it. And Canada was already in the war. So they had to create a propaganda in order to get America into the war, because at that time, America was allied with Germany. Ford was still sending trucks and parts to Germany while American soldiers were going to Europe. That's how much baloney the whole thing was about, you know, freeing Europe. It wasn't about freeing Europe. It was about, sacrificial bloodshed of American soldiers that had to bleed in Europe in order to appease the demons of that day.
Right. Well, Ford was sending trucks to the Soviet Union.
He was sending them to Germany. He was building all those trucks that Hitler had. They were all coming from, there's a video on YouTube you can actually see where Ford and Hitler are shaking each other's hand. They pop
over. Ford and Hitler liked each other.
Oh, they were business partners. They were business partners. So you could see them shaking each other's hands when they're lifting up the hood of a truck that had the Ford Motor Company engine right in it.
Mm-hmm.
IG Farben had created the synthetic rubber, which they had given to Exxon Oil. And when the islands down in the Pacific got taken over by the Japanese, they had to force ExxonMobil to give them the formula to make the synthetic rubber, because the agreement was IG Farben would have to give them permission. So during that whole time that this was going on, this so-called war that was going on, this is again about shifting the paradigm and again further derailing everybody off track. So nothing that we have seen, really, nothing that we have really heard, some of the things that we have been believing, as all, like the guy said, you know, you've been following the music and the message in the music, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, you know? When we were Skyping back and forth about this, I mentioned that I have never seen a Friends episode, and when during that period of time when rock and roll and all that nonsense was happening, I was listening to Ferranti and Teicher and classical music. I had never been to a music program. What do they call them?
Concert.
I've only been to two. One with my daughter. I took her to see Backstreet Boys, and then one with somebody that I married, and I didn't even know what I was supposed to wear. And my daughter Rebecca helped me choose something that was appropriate because I'd never been to a concert. I was never interested in attending one. Most of the time that my children were growing up, we did not have a television. Instead, we played board games. We went to the library. We went to the lake. We did family kinds of things. We spent a great deal of time together. And when my children were very young, my husband and I decided that we would get rid of the TV. And I didn't realize until then that I used the TV as a babysitter. And so as soon as we got rid of the TV, I recognized that and I thought, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Excuse me. That parents just let their children see whatever's on that boob tube.
Well, that's the design. Okay, we're talking about television programming. Basically, we're programming through the eyes what they want you to follow. So even radio is even more subtle because, it's not coming through the eyes, but let's say you're busy doing whatever, working around the house, driving the car, and the music's on. So you're almost in the same wavelength as you are when you're watching television. So it just goes in and it starts the programming. Like he made the comment in that theme there. All the words, all the things that they believed in, it was all coming through the music.
And I never participated in that either. My daughter took piano lessons and we listened to classical music. She was a gifted, just absolutely gifted. Whatever she picked up, violin, clarinet, she played the organ, she was gifted. No matter what she picked up, she could play it. And so we just didn't do those kinds of things that ordinary parents did. And I taught my children how to speed read, and we just did a lot of reading. I've always had a huge library, and I just didn't get into all of that programming, for which I'm very grateful.
There's two aspects of it. I went through all that. But with me,
what's wrong with you?
Hey?
I said, is that what's wrong with you?
Could be. Could be. The bad program is still lingering around. I always tell people that those people who have awakened to the truth or are awakening to the truth goes through multiple levels of deprogramming, because we've all been programmed on some level, whether we're conscious of it or not. So as we become more aware and awake of what's going on, we go through what I call a deprogramming section. So when I went through all that crap, I got to, hold on a second, of course, I went through a bunch of different, seen all the stuff, went through the drug scene, went through the sex scene, went through the gang scene, went through the slum scene, went through all that. And it basically, when you having that exposure, it made you see things again. Initially, you get sucked in because it's something new or something sensational or whatever it may be that gets your. But after you're in it for a while, you begin to realize it's empty. It's hollow. There's nothing to it. We develop a culture from a lot of this stuff, but then eventually a lot of people break away from that culture because they realize how empty it really is and there's no substance to it. It just seems like it's one sabotage after another in your life. And it just keeps on breaking you down the more you're in it. I've often said the more successful you are in this realm, in the matrix, the farther away you are from God, because this matrix is nothing but a lie anyway, and it basically sabotages you at every level and every part of the game.
Amazing. Alrighty, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Tony Pantelaresca. And website. Gosh, I'm hearing myself. Pretty gross. We have an echo going on. Okay. Augmentenforce.50webs.com. Thank you, Tony, for turning your radio off.
I'm back.
Okay, that's good. You were listening to the commercials?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I listen to them. Yeah, I'm walking around. I can hear them because I got the speakers on, so I can hear them. So I usually step up in between, stretch my legs, and I get back into the position.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good, good. Okay. This is all, it is all programming. And people don't really ask themselves, about it. They just, because they have been programmed from the day that they were born, apparently.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, the educational system is one of the key places.
Yes, government education is the worst.
Okay, even if you go to a parochial school or a private school, it's still programming. Yeah, exactly. So you're isolated now, and now you're in the control of whatever institution you're going to. So now they can further take the level of programming to a whole new level. So, and when you're dealing with people, and when they really don't get the fact that their whole life is a program. Okay, I'll give you an example. I don't know how many Americans contact me from the U.S. asking what to do about COVID. I said, did you get a vaccine? I'm not kidding. I say, are you guys down there just set back? What's going on here? I said, how is it you're not getting this? I said, did you actually get a vaccine? They said, no, then you can't get COVID. It's impossible to get COVID unless you've been vaccinated. But this is what they did to the general population. First, they started off with the corona boogeyman. Oh, it's coming for you. Now we got corona. Now, nobody really paid attention and decided to check to see back in 1963, North America was, in fact, been exposed to the coronavirus. And that we all now have the antibody to the coronavirus. So even if you did get hit with, unless you had already a severe compromised immune system, you have a 99.9% survival rate. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Yet, nobody reads. Then, when you ask them, and I'm not kidding you on this one, do you know what COVID actually means? All of them have said no. I said it means certification of vaccination identification. So the only way you could get an infection from COVID is if you've already been vaccinated or somehow been tagged with the COVID pathology. So there's no, again, examining nothing. And then when you ask them that they've been tested for COVID, and I ask them, how many cycles did the PCR test you? I don't know. I said, well, if it's more than 30 tests, you don't have corona. What you have is an outstanding payment to the hospital to collect $3,500 to test you on a PCR test.
Oh, my gosh.
So, because where they're finding the so-called infection rate is between 35 and 45, which means that the test itself is manufacturing a false positive. But do they read? No. They hear that the numbers are going up, right? Everyone hears this bullshit bunk.
You said it. Okay. We'll be right back. It's the top of the hour. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
guest is Tony Pantelaresco, and we were talking about the PCR test. And first of all, the PCR test, usually when you go into, for instance, if a person suspects that they have strep throat or something, they put a swab in their mouth. And they've asked people to cover their mouth with this mask. But when you go in for the PCR test, they put a swab up your nose very close to the pituitary gland, which hangs down right there in the middle, which they could easily leave something there or damage that gland beyond belief. And, my gosh, people are just doing this.
Oh, and the other thing that people are not realizing, when they do that thermometer thing on the forehead.
Oh, yeah.
That's an infrared light. That will penetrate the forehead 4 inches. So that's how 6G works. 6G works with a microwave and an infrared. So the infrared opens you up 4 inches and the microwave follows. Well, when you got an infrared, that's firing a fine beam like that. That's literally cooking your brain. So, like I said, nobody reads. And then, when we're looking at the other aspect of this situation, and you got virologists now all over the world, one of the people from Pfizer said this flu has already come and gone. You know, and yet you got still people walking around, what I call a diaper on their face. Now, this interesting thing about this diaper on their face, what killed people with the Spanish flu wasn't the Spanish flu.
Right.
It was pneumonia.
And it was pneumonia
from the mask. Exactly. Right. So I'm predicting by late spring, early summer, 30% of the people that you know will be dead from pneumonia because they've been wearing this mask since last March or February. So, and in the cold months, the components of those blue masks that the people are wearing, they have 6 carcinogens in them. Again, nobody reads. And the 6 carcinogens are hydrogen cyanide, formaldehyde, ethylene, propylene, butane, slimicide, and there's one other one. And so now you have a combination of pathologies frying the immune system, destroying the thymus. So if the pneumonia doesn't kill them, there'll be about 13 different types of cancers that will. Brain cancer, eye cancer, facial cancer, tongue cancer, throat cancer, thyroid cancer, thymus cancer, esophageal cancers, heart cancers, lung cancers, and pancreatic cancers. All from wearing the mask. So like I said, nobody reads. And if anybody had a half a brain cell on this one, all you gotta do is read the side of the box, and it tells you on the side of the box, they will not stop the coronavirus, nor does it stop even particulates. Now, this is the other interesting little tidbit. Even if you get the vaccine, which will probably either kill you or debilitate you, why are you still going to need to wear a mask if this vaccine works? Again, nobody reads. So when we're looking at this whole... And now we have a new strain. How convenient. We have a new strain now coming out of Africa and another one coming out of the UK, another one coming from the moon and another one coming from the sun and another one coming from the dark side of Uranus. It's all again a fabrication. I had a report, John Hopkins report, and it states that we're going to be in this mess until the year 2028. We're believing a fantasy, a farce of a supposed pandemic. Now, the other thing that everyone tells me, this is the other thing I hear too, and again, the brain cell department is lacking here as well. We are in the flu season. We've always had a flu season. Ever since I've been alive, we always had the cold and flu season. You know, we were selling Robitussin, we were selling NyQuil, they were always selling this crap on television. This was their big thing. Cold and flu season. So we've always had a cold and flu season, if we believe the television. So we are in a flu season. So now someone has the flu, you're going to suffer for 10 days. That's usually how it goes, unless you nip it in the bud the first day. And the nipping it in the bud really all requires is some cinnamon and a bottle of Coca-Cola. That's all it requires. And what you do is you mix the two together and you drink it. What happens is the Coca-Cola burns the lining of the stomach where the flu embeds, and the cinnamon kills the virus. Real simple, real easy. But you got to catch that within the first day. So if you do, you got no more symptoms. They're gone within the day. But if you don't, you got a 10-day ordeal, which means that your immune system will fight whatever's going on, whatever flu is out there, and then you're fine. So, like I said, even when we were watching that nonsense in China, that Hollywood theatric that they were doing there, and people were running and dying from a flu, I saw one guy running full gallop, took about 8 steps, and then he dropped. And I'm thinking to myself, self, take a look at this. Now, when have you ever known anybody, because again, I do all kinds of herbalism and all kinds of alternatives, when have you ever seen anybody be able to run with a flu? Most people can barely get out of bed to go to the toilet, much less run. And usually they're crawling to the toilet and crawling back. So like I said, when you're looking at these things, you're seeing people drop. They are already vaccinated with the so-called vaccine they had in China. Then they turned around and triggered them with a frequency and took them out. That's how, okay, why? Because if they really had a pandemic in China, let's take a real hard look at this too. You got 1.3 billion people. So probably in any given area, you're probably going to have at least 50 to 100 million people in just one area. If there was really a pandemic, why weren't these areas completely wiped out? See, if we had a real pandemic going on, we would have bodies on the streets. We wouldn't be able to keep up with it. And the medical would be, it's a joke now, it'd be a bigger joke then. So again, nobody is paying attention because they don't know how to read. They don't know how to interpret what they're reading or they're seeing. Nor do they have the capacity to analyze anymore. All they do is follow the string. They follow the tune. They follow the visual. They listen to the gospel according to television. And television is telling them what to believe and what to perceive as reality. So when we heard the guy talking about the music, that's the media exposing the game and telling you they've been screwing you ever since your grandparents were around. So like I said, this really, you really have to, when you watch things, I don't believe nothing. I'm Mediterranean. I'm one of those guys, I don't believe nothing. You have to show me something to substantiate whatever. And when I see what I'm seeing not having any form of substantiation, I'm like, really? And this is being perpetrated. And then you got people, some of the things I hear people say, oof. I have to shake my head.
Yes. It is amazing what that people are saying. Oh, I can hardly wait to get the vaccine so that I can get my life back. And yet they don't get their life back because they still have to be compliant to all of these other things. I initially got a mask because I labeled it. I said, reducing my oxygen for your comfort. And I wore it a couple of times and I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. And I haven't put a mask, I threw it away. And I haven't worn a mask since. I go anywhere that I've only had a problem with it one time, and it wasn't pretty. But I go everywhere without a mask. I go to the UPS office. I go to the post office. Anywhere that I won't wear a mask. Period.
I don't wear one either. I have an exemption form that you can
get. I do too.
And I sent some out to some Americans as well that contacted me so they could go in. And if a store doesn't allow you to have the exemption for my app, my attitude is this, well, Chuck, you Farley, I'm not going to your store. You don't get my money. You know, fine, I'll go somewhere else that does, that will accept the exemption.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking on that whole thing. So the way I look at it is this, if you want to commit financial suicide, you do so at your own peril.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't wear one either. They don't even bother me. I just walk in, get my stuff, and get out. I have had three incidences where the last one actually made me laugh. The first one, I went into a bank, and I think she was part of the CCP. I'll just leave it go at that. Mm-hmm. Tried to manipulate me, and I'll be hooped if I'm going to let some millennial tell me what to do at this stage of life. So I told her I don't need to wear one. She said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. She said, yes, you do. So I showed her the exemption form. She says, no, I don't. I said, you need to quit this nonsense that you're doing, trying to impose your will on somebody else. And she said, well, I didn't mean to start a fight with you. I said, you know what? Maybe you should quit while you're ahead. Because I was about ready to spin her head right clean off her shoulder. Now when I go in there, she doesn't even talk to me. So then I went to another place. Where did I go? I went into a grocery store, and they came up to me, asked me this questionnaire, do I have COVID? I said, of course not, I don't have COVID. If I had COVID, I wouldn't be here. Then the COVID doesn't exist anyway, and nor does this corona. So anyway, it was a young guy, so I didn't really give him a hard time. The management were cowards, so they're sending their young people to do the job. And the guy was uncomfortable with it, so look, I understand, you're just doing what you got to do. Don't worry about it, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the people that sent you here, because they didn't have the courage or the testicular fortitude to come here themselves. And the third one, I had this old guy, he was in his 80s, and he said, how come he's not wearing a mask? I said, because I'm exempt and I don't need to wear one. He said, well, you better stay 6 feet away. I said, no, buddy, you better stay 6 feet away. You know, I said right back at him. Then we were standing in line, he's shaking his head trying to guilt me, and all I could do, Deanna, honestly, was laugh. I just laughed.
I'm sure that
laughed.
Made him very happy.
You know, I couldn't help but laugh. I thought, you know,
But
this is the mentality that people got. It's the guys that created this, the Gates, the Fauci's, the Soros, and Elon Musk, and all the rest, they're laughing all the way to the bank. They're not wearing masks.
They are.
The Chinese are not even wearing masks. Did you know that?
The last big
celebration, New Year celebration, they're all out in the streets. They're not wearing masks. They're laughing at everybody in the West. They're actually believing this fairy tale. And I looked at that, I thought, well, isn't that interesting? The CCP is not wearing a mask, but they want everybody to wear. See, I don't call Canada Canada anymore. I call it Chinada. Because we're following the CCP platform here. So, and I'm thinking eventually we're going to call it Chinada USA. You know, China, Canada, and U.S. under the Chinada platform. Because this is where this is taking us. This is taking us into a CCP platform, and people are not realizing this because they're being distracted with this nonsense going, that circus we got going on down there with this election, the circus that they got going on with the news, and the newscasters down there should win Oscars and Emmys for the way they are portraying and acting how real this is. If there was some real aspect to this, and we really actually saw dead bodies on the streets, then I'd say you got a problem. You know, then I'd say you got a problem. Will Smith did a movie called Legion, I Am Legion. You ever see that?
No.
That is that portrayal of what he did. He was a military researcher in genetics. And they released a virus on the planet, and it wiped out huge amounts of the population of the planet. And what it didn't wipe out, it created a mutation in whatever life was left. Well, this is a chimera vaccine that they're putting into people. So if it doesn't kill you, it's going to create a mutation in your genetic code and rewrite your DNA to such a degree, all you're going to be at this stage is an extension of an artificial intelligence. They're going to put AI programming into these things, which they've already done. Just like when you're talking about doing that swabbing up the nose, they have found there are microchips in the swab. So they're tagging
right.
People with microchips in the skull.
Right.
So like I said, all anybody would have to do is say no. If everybody said no in America and Canada, this would kill this in a minute. And as what you were saying before, so they can go back to normal. Normal meant being a slave, working on a job that paid you little, so that you could barely exist. This is what everyone wants to go back to. And over here, they're wanting to take the shots just so they can see a baseball game or a hockey game or a basketball. I mean, this is the mentality that we have here. But let me reiterate this real quick. This is the new normal. And we're not going back to anything other than you're going to be just like they were in Second World War in Germany. You're going to have papers everywhere you go. You're going to have to identify yourself every place you be, whether it be through a scan, and then you're going to have papers saying that you were vaccinated or tagged, because that's what that's actually telling them that you are one of our tagged specimens that are now allowed to walk free. We can monitor you. So, did you get the movie Songbird? Did I send it to you?
No.
Oh crap! I got to send you that. That they're saying in there again through predictive programming, COVID-23. Okay, they're saying that in the movie. That's again where you got to pay attention. That's predictive programming. Now we're going to have. They're already forecasting we're going to have a virus running in the year 2023, and it's still going to keep going up until 2028. And again, nobody is reading. Nobody says, look at on my pods alone. I got all the links there. Anybody can go there and check the links, follow it, read it, and try to understand what you're reading. You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but seriously, try to understand what you're reading. Don't just read it like you're a computer running string code after string code. Read it. Understand what you're reading. If you don't understand the words, look them up. You know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that practice alternative remedies, herbalism, orthomolecular, aromatherapy, food. I'm working heavily with nanobiotech and targeted individuals and frequencies. So as my skill set has been evolving. And when we're talking frequencies, just think of yourself as a television or a radio or a stereo. And think of the people that are in charge having a remote control where they can turn you on or disengage you.
That is one of the things that I'm doing a big, gigantic study on. Because in energy medicine, we are electromagnetic beings. The earth is electromagnetic. We could not live here unless we were electromagnetic. And there is a way that we can mitigate the G4, the G5, and the frequencies that are being emitted by these towers, these cell towers. And we can avoid that. Now, I don't have a microwave oven. I don't have a lot of gadgets. I have I don't have electricity in my bedroom. I turn off my modem at night. I really limit I have Graham Stetzer filters for dirty electricity. I've interviewed a lot of the people that talk about this. Samuel Milham, who wrote the book Dirty Electricity. But I am reading, there's a whole bunch of books, that are devoted specifically to, the electric body, we are electromagnetic beings. It's just the way that it is being, that we are being targeted, and it is the health of our body that determines the amount of harm that those frequencies will do to us.
Again, I would kind of disagree with you on that. It used to be the case, not no more. You're loaded with nanoparticulates, and you've been loaded for about 40 years. And those nanoparticulates are augmenting your DNA's antenna. You're a superconductor at this point. So when you're talking 5G, you can wear a shielding like copper or silver nickel shielding.
Oh, no, I don't do that. No, no, that is not what I'm talking about.
No, no, I know, but I'm referring to something else. I'm trying to get a point across.
Oh, okay.
When you got nano in you, there's no way you're going to do this without any kind of aid. If you think that, that's a misconception. When we're talking nanoparticulates that are superconductive, like carbon C60 and some of the other materials that are now making them a superconductive material combining silicon and carbon and among other things, and they're inside of you, there's no way you can do it anymore on your own. You can't regulate it, you can't stop it, you can't block it unless you've got some kind of shielding or some kind of grounding or creating some kind of...
Oh, that's what I'm talking about, grounding.
Yeah. Creating some kind of toroidal field around you or in your environment to disperse the fields
yes.
coming at you.
That's
so, I mean, you have to do that today because that's the reality.
Yes.
Unless you're building a Faraday cage, and now with 6G, you can't use aluminum because it'll go right through that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So you have to use brass now. Brass is what's required to stop 6G. So,
Which is one of the reasons that they got rid of lead paint.
Yeah, well, lead paint will work if the antenna is at a distance. But I had a woman in Australia that painted the house with lead. The matter of fact, the brick that they used was a calcium lead component, which should have blocked it. But she had three antennas within two block range. She even used the special paint that they got, which was a carbon C60 paint, a Shungite paint. And nothing. It went right through. Their animals were sitting on the floor winding up having their backsides burned because of the field range. So if you're too close to those antennas, even with all that, it may not be enough. You'd have to, unless you had maybe a 12 foot thick wall around you to block it. So there is a limitation to even that now. So you've got to be aware.
Now, these people that are perpetrating these crimes, what are they doing to avoid it?
They're probably underground in a multiple shielded environment. I mean, the more shielding you have, the more different layers of different types of shielding you have, the more you can mitigate this. And if they're using some sort of regenerative frequency devices to regenerate and renew their damage, again, tech that you and I don't have access to, that's another way. I mean, look, they're using adrenochrome. Okay, that Regeneron drug that Trump saw, that's another form
of... Oh, is that terrible?
It's adrenochrome. So, I mean, it's what it is. So when you're looking at... they're living off of other life, for parasites. So when we're looking at, like I said, what's going on, and when you start to, again, look at... What are you really exposed to? Let's take a hard look. Got your smart meter. You got the towers, cell phones if you have them, iPads, smart devices. Your cars that you're driving are all emitting frequencies. As you're driving down the road among other cars, those frequencies are communicating with each other.
It depends on the age of your car.
It doesn't matter. It may be your car may not be a problem, but the car beside.
Oh, right.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. So you gotta kind of broaden the dimensions on what's happening now in regarding to, Elon Musk wants to have these cars that are driving themselves. Well, they have to have a bunch of them out there so they can communicate. So the more of them that are out there, the better they become at driving. Well, those frequencies will go right through you. Now, if you got a newer car that's got that OnStar or whatever they got now for GPS
right.
or whatever, that's a frequency.
Right.
Okay, so when we're looking at being outside and you're around towers, you're around antenna, you're around, and you got RFs, EMFs, ELFs, AM, FM, all the different bandwidths that are out there, you're being hit with all that. So, when I go outside, if I'm going anywhere, I always wear a poncho shielding of copper. I wear some kind of grounding. I may wear a repulsor units where they have magnets that put a field around me. I may charge my body up with a device that I use to, either inject something into my system through electroporation or to disengage programming. So that leaves a static charge or an ionic charge around me so that when I'm outside, it mitigates anything that might come my way. So I do a lot of different things just in preparing before I, just before I go out. So, today you have to think again, not just one frequency, think in thousands. But when we're talking about the higher bands like 5G, 6G, 7G, 8G, you know, we're in a whole different ballgame there.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, oh, you're okay. Still there?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, no, it went dead. That's why I asked. Oh, did I lose her?
No, I'm thinking. Yes. Now, when they came out with radio, for instance, the AM radio, mm-hmm. Has a different frequency than the FM. And with the AM radio, it was within the radio itself.
Also, okay? with the antenna, though, it was emitting.
No, they didn't have an antenna.
Oh, yeah, no, we had it. No, they did. No, they had antenna.
No, the FM radio did.
Okay, frequency modulation means that the antenna directed the beam directly to the radio.
Right.
AM antenna
They're different frequencies.
But they had an antenna emitter. We had one here in Canada. We were the first ones to have an AM radio antenna up. That signal went all the way down
to
the south. That was causing what they were calling then tinnitus. Tinnitus doesn't exist, never did. That's your brain being buzzed by these frequencies and the ear is picking up on that frequency. So when you're looking at all AM is a scattered frequency. That's all it is. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. FM is where they directed it directly to whatever. And then it went from there. Then it went from there.
Right. Yeah. I can tell when I'm out in my car. The only time I listen to radio is when I'm in my car. And you can tell when you go into a high frequency area where there's towers or whatever, it will interfere with the AM frequency.
Yeah.
And I can tell, my body can tell also.
You can use AM. You really want mm-hmm. to use AM correctly. Well, not correctly, sorry.
In a test. You can test for frequency with an AM radio.
Definitely. But you can also test for shielding. Let's say, you know, when you drive down a tunnel into an overpass or whatever, and all of a sudden you lose the signal.
Right.
Okay. Where you're at in that tunnel will determine how strong the shielding is. So mm-hmm. if you need to get away from shielding, that's where you'd want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's telling you that here it's dead. Now, when you start coming closer to the end of the tunnel, that's when the radio will pick up again, right? Mm-hmm. But you can use, say, an AM radio, and you were looking for someplace to shield. You would use that by going to different places. for instance, certain donut shops have washrooms, and their washrooms are in an area of the store where it's shielded. So you walk into the washroom, now you can't hear nothing. In that spot, nothing's going on.
Yeah, you can't hear anything.
Right.
I'm sorry. Double negative. I couldn't deal with it. I'm sorry. Okay. I think we missed a commercial, or we're going to a commercial break momentarily. And when we come back, I would like to play another one of those sound bites.
Okay.
Be right back. Back, and we're going to listen to another is that not number three? I believe it is. Hang on. Number three. Yes, number three. Yes. Yes.
Howard. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore!
Who are you talking to, Herb?
CGG, Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad! You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
God damn it! Get up, get up, get up out of your chair!
Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lode!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore! Just get up from your chairs, right now, go to
where
the
are
window!
Where you going?
Everybody,
I want to see if anybody's yelling!
Go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling, I'm...
I'm mad as hell! I'm not
going to
take this anymore!
That is what we should be doing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I said this on one of my shows. If we did that here in Windsor, Ontario, they'd hear us all the way to Vancouver Island. They would hear us right over to Moncton. They'd hear us right down to Maine. They'd hear us right to California. They would hear us, if the whole frickin' North America got out and just did that. See, our voices are frequencies. People don't realize this. You know, when we pray, we are elevating a frequency in our prayers. But the same thing, when we communicate with each other, these are frequencies. It's not necessarily the words that we say, it's the tones and the, innuendos and other things that we say that convey what we're trying, what gets interpreted. But if everybody, I was trying to figure a way to get this to actually happen, where we could all yell out our windows, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. And we should be that lit up. 40 years ago, that would have been the case. 40 years ago, people were a different mindset, and they were ready to fight anything the government would have done to take away their rights. Today is a whole different dynamic. Now, there are still fighters out there. But the problem with the fighters out there is they're outnumbered by those who are complicit. But still, all it would take is for a domino effect is to get out there and say something or to do something like this or to somehow perpetrate this in some way. It would rattle this agenda to its knees, literally.
I think you're right. And that's been around a long time. That particular soundbite has been around. But I think people just don't realize they're so brainwashed, so programmed that they don't relate what is happening now to it being, to them being programmed. They don't see the connection, or they don't remember this or have never heard it.
There's a third element to this too. You've heard this yourself. Well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
So it's easier to go along.
Right.
And you know what? This is why we're at today. Because everybody went along. And now, Black Sabbath has a song called War Pigs. And when you read the lyrics, generals gathered in their masses just like witches at black masses. Mm-hmm. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerers. This is your pharmaceutical company. These are your vaxxers. These are the drug companies. Death's construction. They gave you the predictive programming back then that the means of war was going to come from pharmacopoeia. Look what we're seeing today. Mankind is having war waged against them with a needle. With a needle. And you got people willingly ready to be killed by this needle. Yeah, give me the shot. I want to go back to normal. I want to go to my baseball game. I want to go to my hockey game. I want to go to a movie. They believe. Again, and this is something I'm still trying to get my head around. Why would anybody believe any politician?
Right.
I can't get over that one. I mean, I've been around long enough to realize that I don't care what stripe you're in. Trump, Biden, Democrat, conservative, Republican, liberal. Why would you believe any of them? They are all bought and paid for by the banks. America, freedom to fascism. When Marc Rousseau talked about that, he says the guy he was with said we own both sides.
All right, Aaron Rousseau.
Rousseau, and he was with
Schneider. Bob.
Well, he was talking to one of the rich Cabals.
Right. People. Oh, one of the Rockefellers.
That's it, Rockefeller.
Right.
And Rockefeller told him, it doesn't matter what you vote. He says, and he even told him, you know why we had a women's liberation movement? He says, well, to give women equal. He says, no, you idiot, we could care less about that. We wanted the kids. Kids are now in school. Now we can program them.
Mm-hmm. I met Aaron Rousseau.
Did you?
And had a chat with him. And remember when Perot ran for president?
Yeah.
And that was just to break... To really, so that people would either decide against or for. And he was against NAFTA, and both parties were for NAFTA. And he said, you're going to see all the jobs being shipped offshore. All the production offshore. And both parties Democrats and Republicans supported that. George H.W. Bush started it, picked up by Clinton. And then you also had something else that the Clintons did. They did the Decade of the Brain in the 1990s, and they had the first White House meeting pushing psychotropic drugs. And in fact, this month I'm going to be interviewing somebody about the book Side Effects, Side Effects Death, Confessions of a Pharma Insider, which I have cited frequently in my book on Sandy Hook. So it, all of this, the information is all available. It's just that people have not thought about it, have not accessed it, have not added things up properly. And when Trump came into office, he had actually thought about running for office previously. He was, and I read the book that his niece wrote. I don't agree with her summation of some things. But he had a checkered past. He had 10 lawsuits against him. So he was compromised. And people who are compromised are very easy to control. In fact, I think when you look at the background, look into the background of most of the politicians, you're going to find a lot of compromising. And what is that guy? Dennis Hastert. He was compromised. He was a wrestling coach from Illinois. He was a wrestling coach at a high school. He went to Washington, came back a millionaire. Now, how the heck does that happen?
It's an old
lobbyists are there with their deep pockets.
It's not what you know, but who you know.
And it's what you've done.
Exactly. Exactly. Look at our Prime Minister in Canada.
The guy
isn't qualified to tie his shoe with Velcro. He's a drama teacher. So how does a drama teacher who has absolutely no background in politics become the Prime Minister of Canada? Now, if you ever watched the debates we had here with Harper and him and the NDP guy, I forget his name. After the last debate, Harper approaches Trudeau and he bows to him. In other words, he was conceding the election to him. It's like he was passing the baton.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have anybody here really quantified on any level to run this country. We don't. But you still have people here fixated on this, that they're voting for a party. They have been playing this game for so long. My father was a liberal, my grandfather was a liberal, my great-grandfather was, so we're going to vote liberal. Even though the liberals aren't any good and have always screwed you one way, the liberals, the difference between the liberals and the conservative here in Canada is the liberals will come right out and out and screw you, period. They don't care what you guys say. They got the power. They're going to do what they want to do. And Trudeau is following the footsteps of the first Trudeau. They're not related. Well, they're related kind of halfway because this Trudeau comes from Cuba. The other one came from Quebec. So when we're looking at the scenario, nothing's changed in the whole time since Pierre Trudeau ran the country to this new Trudeau. Like I said, his father's Castro. We have not seen anything change, really. We've just seen it pacified with the conservatives, but Canada, the guy that sold us to China wasn't Trudeau, it was Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And Harper made a deal with the Chinese that if we had any law in Canada that would impede or impact their profit margin, that we would have to change our laws in order to concede to China. Basically, he gave Canada, like I said, is now called Chinada, because he gave Canada to China when he did that. And this one, and we got has now put us in bed with China. So we, you know, and now we have Chinese military running all over the place. We've got UN peacekeeping troops in Quebec for absolutely no reason. So we have some problems going on in this country that, you know, maybe a lot of people aren't aware of. And you know what? America better be on their game, because this will come to America without question. And I think this whole divisional nonsense that they got going on with the so-called presidential nonsense is a distraction while these things are actually happening. This is usually how it goes.
Well, I do know that the Chinese are buying up a lot of property here, and they have been for quite some time.
That's how they'll get you. See, they'll come in, they'll buy the property, they'll build condos, and they'll have established a whole regime of Asian people in these condos, and majority of them will be military. They'll be all military. You'll have some families and whatnot, but they'll be all military. And now all of a sudden you've been invaded without even firing a shot. So like I said, you know, be on your game down there. You know, here, the only reason why Princess in Ontario, they haven't gone further than they have, because we still have guns here. You know, and they've been trying to get our guns away from us, but here, most people here, anybody with a half a brain, doesn't trust the government. Those who don't have a brain, you know, capitulate by surrendering their weapon. They now are defenseless. They don't realize it. So, and that's the big thing they've been trying to do to the U.S. for the last 20, 25 years that I can remember, trying to get the guns away from the American public. So that will slow them down. It won't stop, because with the drone technology and with the AI technology they have today, guns are almost obsolete. They will protect you from somebody breaking into your house, you know, somebody trying to rob you or whatever.
Right.
But as far as some of this tech that they've got, the guns won't be that effective.
Alrighty. On that happy note, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. Alrighty, we are back. During that last commercial, I thought about the anthrax, the letters that were mailed, and Tom Ridge, who became the Homeland Security chief right after 9/11, he went on air and he said, "You don't have to worry about the anthrax anymore." and I thought, how the heck would he know? because he knew. How would he know? Because it was a government operation.
Yep.
Yes, that's how he knew. Okay. We've got a few more. We have one last audio file, but we'll play that in the next hour, and we'll also take phone calls in the next hour. But you were talking about, a lot of stuff. So pick up where we left off. Where was that? you were talking about Trudeau. We were talking about the military, about the Chinese buying up all this property, and we were talking about guns and about, it's fine if you want to shoot an intruder that's coming into your safe room at your house. Right.
I've seen, because I work with nanobiotech, artificial intelligence, and I look at all the AI tech that's out there right now, you'd be stunned at what they've developed. They are now patrolling the northern rim of Canada in areas just with drones. The United States has developed this one drone. It's basically one drone's like a platoon of soldiers, and its capacity to kill, what it can carry. They can hit you from a mile high. You would never know what hit you. Kind of thing. So people need to understand that they're going to give you your gun. They're going to give you your gun because they have a way to neutralize it.
The thing that I have always considered, the thing that I've considered recently, I don't think that they're trying to kill everybody off, because we are consumers, and the people that are making the most money depend on our consumerism.
Yes and no, not no more. With the reset, that's going to change. Hey, they're already talking about making a synthetic meat, like I told you we started
the show, right?
They're not worried about consumerism anymore. They're now more concerned about complete control. Now, who would be the ones that would give them the most problems? That would be our generation that could still think.
Right.
So they may not kill everybody because they're still going to need some slaves, like in other words, to shovel crap that's on the street, maybe to, you know, do the jobs.
Pick up the garbage.
The crap jobs, basically. And then they'll get these people convinced that they're doing their due diligence in reducing their footprint.
Right.
So, but anyway, well, when you're talking that kind of tech, that's some sophisticated hardware. And that's not designed as a peacekeeping commodity. That's designed for an assault. So when you're talking about what this has got going.
Alrighty, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back with our guest, Tony Pantelaresco. So stay tuned, and we will take phone calls and questions in the next hour. Be right back.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All right, we are back. Our guest is Tony Pantelaresco. And we were talking about a lot of things. We do have one more clip that I'd like to share, and that would be Howard Beale. And then we'll pick it up from there.
Yeah.
Mr. Producer?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. How do you feel? Ladies and gentlemen, the Network News Hour with Sybil the Soothsayer. Jim Levy, and here sits the Emma Truth Department. Miss Matahari and her skeletons in the closets. But tonight, another segment of Vox Populi. Starring the mad prophet of the airways, Howard Beale.
Edward George Ruddy died today. Edward George Ruddy was the chairman of the board of the Union Broadcasting Systems, and he died at 11 o'clock this morning of a heart condition, and woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble.
So, a rich little man with white hair died. What has that got to do with the price of rice, right? And why is that woe to us? Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel. The ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls into the hands of the wrong people. And that's why woe is us that Edward George Ruddy died. Because this company is now in the hands of CCA, the Communication Corporation of America. There's a new chairman of the board, a man called Frank Hackett, sitting in Mr. Ruddy's office on the 20th floor. And when the 12th largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off!
Alrighty. that was he was probably overcome with his own.
Yeah, now, the interesting thing about this whole scenario there.
Yes, that's
the actual television. The media is actually telling you, for once in its life, it's telling you the truth about what it's really doing. How it's doing it, and how people are so bloody stupid they couldn't tie their shoe with Velcro today because the television did not show them how to tie their shoe if it was Velcro. So if the television, when you watch The Matrix, there's a scene in The Matrix where he's walking through the park and Neo asks Morpheus, how come we don't wake everybody up? And Morpheus' response was, people are so jacked into the Matrix, if you woke everybody up, a lot of them would die. If you took away the television from these people, because they have no other sense of perspective or reality, they would die. They could not live without that television.
Wow.
Okay, and that is the program that's been running since the 50s, since they brought television. I remember when television first came out, they were black and white. And I remember when color television came around, 62, 63, somewhere in that time frame, maybe 64. They, all of a sudden, we were watching Bonanza in color. We thought, wow, this was great. Every Sunday, we'd run at 8 o'clock, we'd run to, into the house, we'd turn on Walt Disney, because Walt Disney was in Technicolor. We'd watch Bonanza, that was in Technicolor. And this is how they got us all psyched in, because this was a sensational box that was in your house, that was transmitting some crap that we've all believed in. John Wayne was the superhero of the time. He's always the good guy. No matter how bad the odds were, he was rough, tough. He's like the John Wayne toilet paper. Rough, tough, and took crap from nobody. And everyone started believing this kind of mentality. And it has, and it has devolved since then. Yeah, leave it to Beaver, the other fantasy, the socialistic, the socializing of a family. And the idea of the, I mean, how many housewives, you know, stay dressed nice all day long? You know, and doing housework. So when we're looking at the, and that was the image that they were portraying back then for women as housewives. And they started, this is when they started selling these 18-hour girdles and these cross-your-heart bras and all these creams and cosmetics. That's when women started poisoning themselves, when that started happening. So this was, I mean, people had...
And there were a lot of doctor shows on, too.
The same idea, to propagate the pharmaceutical industry, that they had a medicine that could heal you. They had an operation that could fix you. Nobody ever died in those shows. The doctors always saved the day. And that's why we're at today, people believing that these doctors are going to save the day. They haven't cured anything since what, 1920?
Right.
There's not one cure that has come out since the 20s. After 1940, Rockefeller started shutting down anything that could cure anybody from a real disease. And you know what's other interesting thing about all that? The medical field right now could cure every disease on the planet. Everyone. But they don't want to. They don't want to cure cancer because cancer does the job for them as far as population control. Why would they want to cure it when you're going to spend your life savings to save your life, sell, get a second, third, fourth, fifth mortgage, so just so you can go get a cancer treatment that doesn't work? So and their idea of success is they treat you and you live 5 years, that's a success story. And when our average lifespan at one point in time was 86 years old, and you died at 20, they ripped you off 66 years of your life. But see, nobody sees it that way. They see, well, they had 5 years.
And if they die 5 years in one day, they consider that
success.
Cure. Yes.
Success. Not a cure, a success.
Right.
They haven't cured a bloody thing. All they've ever done is treat people, and all their treatments have ever done is shortened everybody's life. They have never propagated life. People that have lived the longest in our society in North America are those people who had the economics to be able to afford cleaner foods, live in cleaner environments, and live in safer areas to grow up in and live their lives. The rest who have had no money, who had to eat whatever crap and garbage that the grocery stores were selling them, drank whatever crap water that was coming out of the municipalities, most of them don't live that long.
And fluoride.
Yes.
They fluoridated the water. If you dropped a bottle of fluoride on cement, it would start eating the cement. And yet they want to put it in your body. It's amazing to me.
Well, combine fluoride with soda pop. Now you got something that's literally eating you up from the inside out.
I don't drink soda.
In the 60s when soda pop, you remember the commercial? A kid would come to the store, party store, and the guy says, what can I do for you? He says, I want some pop. He says, what kind you want? He says, what kind you got? And he'd go read out 25 different type of pops, and at the end he says, I want red pop. Now the reason, and the kid said, well, give me the red pop. Now, but why did the kid go with red pop? Because red pop had a red dye in it that could cause liver cancer.
Oh my gosh.
And that red pop had in it components like phosphorus, which would get it into the cellular matrix, and it had citric acid, which get it into the tissue. So everybody started buying red pop. You know?
Wow.
So when you're looking at it, like I said, the whole paradigm has been nothing but programming.
Right.
Cute little ditties that everybody says, oh, that's so cute. And then they go buy the junk. And then when they buy the stuff, it winds up having all kinds of carcinogens. And then you get sick, and then you go to the doctor, and he prescribes you an antibiotic, or says, well, he gives you some other medication to affect your brain or whatever. And you go home and you take the drugs. Now between the chemicals you were exposed to and the chemicals from those drugs and the foods you're eating, you know, there you go.
Anti is against life. Antibiotic.
Yep.
And it destroys your immune system. Destroys all the good bacteria in your tummy.
Well, that's your life force.
Right. Right.
Like I said, the medical field, this is the other thing I can't understand either. I must be pretty stupid because I don't understand why anybody would believe a politician, and I don't understand why anybody would believe a doctor, especially in the medical field today. They have never cured anything, nothing. I was like, what about polio? They didn't cure polio. They already had a cure for polio before that vaccine came out. It was called copper ascorbate, copper citrate, copper sulfate, copper chloride. That wiped out polio. That's what they were using back in those times. That actually did something to polio.
Well, they gave people polio by sprinkling, dusting children with DDT.
Well, that was the genetic damage. But then when they gave you that vaccine, that just took you over.
Right. And Salk admitted to Congress, was it Salk or was it the other guy, that it was not effective. He admitted that. And then there was the SV40 in the polio vaccine. Which one was that in? Where they got cancer?
I'm not sure on that one. I know there was a doctor that was on staff back in the 60s. And she tried to stop that vaccine from getting out there, because when she did she went to re-examine the culture, she saw that this was live culture, not dead.
Right.
And so she knew this was going to exponentiate the cancers that were already out there.
Right.
So we didn't really have a whole lot of cancer until they brought these vaccines into the game. And everything that they started putting into smoking. Okay, tobacco itself would not cause cancer. But the 4,000 pesticides that they spray on it does. In fact, tobacco actually has a ton of health benefits, but again, it's got to be clean tobacco, not the stuff that's being mass-produced. So they've taken something that actually had a good benefit, and they poisoned it. And so then when you smoke it, instead of getting the cotinine from the nicotine, which would actually regenerate the brain, they put in all these 4,000 carcinogens that would go into the brain and cause toxicity of the brain, respiratory system, liver, or wherever these materials translocated into the body. A lot of these cancers that were happening were as a result of translocation, which again, nobody again was looking at, and the medical field wasn't telling you. So, like I said, I cannot understand for the life of me today why anybody would trust these medical bastards, because that's what they are, with a vaccine that hasn't been tested.
It is amazing to me. But people have been indoctrinated to think that vaccine has cured all of these diseases that were previously actually cured by clean air, clean food, and fresh water.
Yeah. I would tell those people, you need to go look at the VAER, and then you can see what these things have actually done. The damage they've done to children, amount of deaths they've caused. What is it? The United States government has paid out over $4 billion in losses because of these vaccines, and now they gave
the government doesn't really pay it. They charge 75 cents per vaccine within a multi-dose vaccine. Where you get more vaccines. And the people that approach the court, it's the vaccine court, just a very small fraction get any reward at all. And they have to hire lawyers. It takes a long time. It's an awful process that, it doesn't work the way that it should. And they passed a law in 1986 where the vaccine manufacturers are not liable.
Yeah.
You cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer. Well, so of course they have 72 different vaccines. Are there really 72 diseases that people are terrified of, that they're willing to have a needle put in their arm? with God only knows what's in it?
Not today. Today, no. Now they just want to get the shot so they can go watch a baseball game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh.
10, 15 years ago, yeah, you may have heard someone say, well, they got a shot for this or they got a shot for that. I remember one year I was working in a factory, and this guy just got out of the military. He was a 30-year-old guy, and he had an 18-year-old wife, and she was pregnant. And because this guy was one of those good old boy mentality, didn't question nothing, he just followed orders. They told him to go get a flu shot, and he did, and he took his wife with him too, and they both got the flu shot. Now he came back to work in not even an hour. The guy is hurling. And he can barely stand. His wife is hurling. She can barely stand. She's pregnant. So he had to go home. He was gone for about a week and a half, came back. And we looked at him and we said, I thought you went to get a shot so you wouldn't get the flu. I said, you know what we use to protect ourselves from the flu? He said, what? A bottle of whiskey.
Oh, goodness.
We pickled it before it had a chance to do anything.
Yeah, a hot toddy, I remember.
Hot toddy, brandy, cognac, even moonshine. And I'm talking about the high-octane stuff. That will knock out anything, pretty much.
Wow.
So, I could hear the guys down south, ooh, moonshine.
Oh, goodness. Well, if people have some questions or comments, feel free to call in at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All right, we are back, and we have some callers online. Why don't we take some calls? Let's take Nancy in Ohio. Nancy, welcome.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you for taking my call. In the last hour, your guest talked about 40 years ago, people would have fought when their civil rights were being taken away, their freedoms. And what has caused that? I just turned 80 on the 6th of January.
Oh, happy birthday.
And if I was able, I'd whip somebody's butt. If I could, because my freedom means a lot to me. My civil liberties mean a lot to me. And I have friends my age that said, well, what can I do about it? I can't do anything about it. Well, we know that voting doesn't do it. And I'd like to know what is causing it. Is it feminism? Has feminism destroyed women? I don't see women. They talk about being strong. I'm a strong woman. Well, I had a great-grandmother that lived to be in her 90s. She raised 10 boys. She was strong. She was a strong woman. She didn't go around having to tell you that.
You got to remember, back then, if you had strength, you didn't have to tell it. People could feel it.
Right.
And like you said, you came from another era of time where your moral and ethical and spiritual fiber hadn't been compromised. You believed in God, King, and country. So you're ready to defend it. Today, these people have been given toys. See, all you gotta do today is give a millennial a toy, a phone, and they will get caught up and completely distracted and programmed by that phone. We didn't have cell phones 40 years ago. We had to work, pay our mortgages, pay our whatever, and there was no time for play. You had to work. You had to make money. You had to survive. You had bigger families back then. The family unit was a lot stronger. Today, They don't know what sex they are because they've been genetically engineered in this way. They've been the transgenetic seeds, the GMO foods, so forth and so on. You're 80 years old. 80 years ago, they didn't have all this crap. You ate real stuff. You had a foundation. You had a core. So, and then today we got all these towers all over the place, and with the cell phones, the way they're built, they attach themselves to the genetic code of the person, and they start programming people because they're interacting. You can't put the phone down. I had a guy call me up from Quebec and tell me he bought a brand new phone. When he put it down, the phone was screaming at him to pick it up again.
Oh my gosh.
They're attached to the tech. Okay, back then we believed in being individuals and protecting our individual rights and sovereignty. Today they're a collective. They're just all, they don't even know that they're walking off of a cliff. And not realizing that the end of that cliff is a big splat. We said, wait a minute, what are you doing? There's a big difference in even the way we thought and how we felt and what we, and again, how we were programmed, because it was a programming too. So, the difference is they did add foods that altered the genetic code. They did incorporate a lot of soy and everything, so that feminized everybody and made women more aggressive, but again, when they say their strength and the power, all these women know how to do, most of them today. Back then, women knew how to work, and they knew how to learn, and they knew how to develop things. Most of these women today, all they know how to do is get laid and take the guy for divorce court. That's it. The whole family structure and concept is gone. They don't have any idea of being loyal and faithful to each other. That whole perspective has gone right out the door. So, it was a different world, a different way of seeing things. There was a moral fiber. There was this connectivity that men and women had back then. Today, that barely exists. That barely exists.
I'm ashamed of women today. I don't understand them at all. And I think that they've been militarized against men.
Well, that's true. If the men are weak, they'll get dominated. If they're not weak, they'll put them in their place very quickly.
Right.
And that's few and far between. I got to tell you, I've had women try that nonsense with me, and I just basically show them how incompetent they really are. They don't want to talk with me anymore. So I'm at a stage in life where I'm like a John Wayne toilet paper, rough, tough, and I won't take any crap from anybody anymore. I've had it. I've been tolerant. I've been peaceful and all this. And when I get people trying to take advantage of me for whatever reason, I let them know that that ain't gonna be an easy fight. And a lot of times you'll see them run away. They think that because you are a male, especially if you're a male, that you're going to lay down there and let them walk on you. And when you don't, then they might call you chauvinist. And at that point, I let them know what I think about their little concepts of chauvinism. And I said, I can show you chauvinism. I can hang you by your bra and walk away. You know, and I won't think twice about doing something like that either. So I came from a different cut altogether. So we didn't, back then men were men and women were excited. Today the men are foo-foo and the women are so as well. So we got a whole different way of thinking today that they have no, they, and again, a lot of that today that we're seeing was by design to break down the system, to break down society. And this was all done by the CIA. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
What they're believing, what they're perceiving as normal, that was all CIA, all of it.
Yeah, Gloria Steinem was a big part of that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, Nancy, thank you.
I wanted to say something else here.
Sure, go ahead.
I think it slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think I can get it back. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
And happy late birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, dear. Bye. Okay, let's take Mark in Florida. Mark?
Hello, Deanna. Thanks for letting me in.
You're quite welcome.
I want to go back a couple of hundred years because what you guys are talking about began many, many, many years ago. Let's go say back to Babylon, but I want to go back to a couple of gentlemen, Robert Yates under the pen name Brutus and Samuel Bryan under the pen name Sentinel. They were anti-federalists. They describe in their writings what we have today. And an example that I think is a perfect example is before the 14th Amendment, the people were state citizens. But the 14th Amendment created the United States citizen. And in the Declaration of Independence, I think it says, all men are endowed by their creator. Well, if Congress created the United States citizen, and people are claiming to be United States citizens, they are subject to their creator, which is Congress. They have voluntarily enslaved themselves. They are no longer state citizens. They are U.S. citizens, property of Congress. Now, if you think about the dilemma of this, is we've been taught and trained to believe that a U.S. citizen is a good thing to be, when actually is property of under the plenary powers of Congress. So, and I'd like your thoughts on that, if any.
You want my thoughts on it?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
I agree, too.
There's no question. We are all, when they gave us the SIN number in Canada, the Social Security number in the States, these were identifying numbers indicating that you were property of America or Canada. And as far as rights goes, nobody's ever had any real rights. We've had privileges. That's all we've ever had. And now those privileges are being revoked. The whole thing has been nothing but a show and a scam. And how they got away with it, part of it is because they allowed everybody to go shopping. So now you got Wilco, Walmart, Kmart, Sears, Target, and whatever the hell else you got out there. So that gave everybody the illusion that they were free, and you haven't been free. I always tell people, you think you're really free? Go grow some tobacco and make some moonshine and grow some cannabis and sell that to the general population, and we'll see how free you really are. If you were really under the state, like you were saying, you could do that and use it as commerce and even take it another step further. The income tax that we both pay in Canada and the United States, the income tax initially was subjected to the corporations and companies, not to the laborer. And they flipped that around as well.
Right, like the sales taxes. Yeah, like the sales tax is supposed to be on the seller and not the buyer.
Exactly.
It's all in our schooling, our training, our military training. Stand at the bell, sit at the bell. March at the bell, stand in line, step, 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 yeah. In line to lunch, in line to recess. But once you got out that door, you are free to go on the playground. But when the bell rang, boom, you're back in line, ready to march back in. They have trained our brains to be servants of the master. And looking at these people we elect, they think they're master. You're going to wear a mask, or we're going to save you by pointing a gun at your head and threatening to shoot you if you don't put on a mask, because without that mask, you might die.
It's for our benefit. It's always for our benefit. Remember that. Everything they've done in the last 60 years has been for our benefit. They created nuclear energy that was for our benefit, but in reality, they've created nuclear bombs and hid the nuclear energy. They put the nuclear energy in front of that. When you're looking at the genetically modified foods, that was for our benefit again, so that we could now grow more food to feed more people. There was an experiment that was done where they took GMO corn and they electrified the corn and they statically discharged the gold pod that altered the GMO of the corn. And what we found out was back in the 50s and 40s, before they started fooling around with the genetics, each stalk of corn had 25 heads of corn on it, about a foot long and about 2 to 3 inches thick. And the reason why they initially genetically engineered the corn so that the combines wouldn't get cluttered up. But we had already more than enough food to feed planet-wide just from corn alone. Even the wheat. The wheat wasn't this stringy looking stalk with this little thing at the top. It was actually a bush. And the wheat germ, or the wheat, what's it called? It looks like a ball. I call it a wheat ball because I can't remember what it's called. It was thick. And that wheat had enough vitamin E in it to keep you from getting heart failure. But again, they genetically engineered it so that the combines would be easier for the farmers to farm. So they've always done things for our benefit, so they say. They told us cholesterol was bad and gave us margarine with green, yellow dye. This is for our benefit. They gave us these vaccines for our benefit. They gave us these drugs for our benefit. We never benefited from any of the science.
Yeah, made us lazy and not thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. It was all pseudoscience. It wasn't even science. It was pseudoscience. What we actually had that God gave us through creation strengthened us and kept us whole. When they started tinkering with us so they can profit at our demise, and they got everybody to accept this, so then they continued to further their agenda in making money, because everything was about making money at one point in time. And caution went to the wind. Nobody looked at it. We are in this quagmire today, just like we were listening to with Howard Beale. Less than 3% are reading at all today. I think it's more down to 1%, to be honest with you. And those that are reading, those are then that 1%. May not even understand what they're reading anymore, because now when they have a problem or a question, they ask Siri. Siri this, Siri that, hey Siri. So instead of developing the capacity to think, they don't.
Yeah, and the terrible thing is they use the wars to kill off the fathers that can pass down the knowledge, and the mothers too, but they could look to pass down the knowledge of land ownership and title and trade, and they stole it from the families by killing off the fathers. So thank you, Deanna.
Wow, thank you. Excuse me, thank you. Wow. All right, let's take Brian in Washington. Brian.
Hi, both Tony and Deanna.
Hi.
So I've contacted both of you over the years. I'm interested in going against the communitarian nightmare that I think this Amitai Etzioni, a German Jewish gentleman, is pushing with every president since Jimmy Carter. He has a January 5th article up on his communitarian network, don't let individual right Luddites stop coronavirus passports. This is also, you know, an immunity passport. So this R2P is completely linked with this communitarian thing. That is the responsibility to protect. So if they're going to require injections, and that you have had the flu, including a lapel label that says, I have been vaccinated, then this Amitai gentleman is going to go on to the, how are you going to validate against discrimination? So social justice, his example is, if I want to be a rabbi, are you going to require me to be Jewish? Of course I am. If you're going to be working at a rental car place, are you going to be required to have a driver's license? That's all he is having to say. And, you know, this OSHA mandates for flu vaccines being mandatory. So if what we have going here is a carrot being dangled so that we can reopen the economy and you can go and visit your sick mother, this is going to be the next phase, and I'm completely convinced that this needs to be on the front of our radar. This one world, they are not going after each individual state being involved with this. They want a federal system, including this passport. And how are they going to keep the passport from being falsified? This is a step towards the chip implanted. So, you know, I just wanted to throw some of this, you know, the article is titled, Don't Let Individual Right Luddites Stop Coronavirus Vaccine Passports. Larkin, Texas is a Luddite. He is going the other direction from all of this technology. He does not want to immerse himself in it. He knows of the danger. He's been on Deanna's show several times. I've gotten Tony on several shows and trying to get him to look at this communitarian nightmare. Tony does talk about individuals and not the group. So, yeah, I just think that's an adequate shotgun of information. I think we need to focus on this communitarian word and why we need to oppose it.
Brian, you did mention OSHA, and about 3 years ago, they produced a notification that masks were not healthy. And I think it's beneficial if you can find government documents and things that have been a previous policy, to use to support what we are attempting to do. I just thought I'd throw that in, but I appreciate your phone call.
And appreciate your show, and I'm great to have Tony on. We follow his regime of no grains, and it has had a spectacular effect, and he's also decent for a, hey, do you have any ideas? I've got an ailment, and I don't want to go see a doctor. Tony has got a track record for coming through in that regard. Thank you for taking
Brian.
Me. Thanks. Bye now.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. I haven't had any grains for 10 years. I'm grain free. Not brain free, grain free.
Yeah.
Okay. let's take, do you want to comment on what Brian offered?
The problem with what he's saying is everybody who's doing something and has a voice is already like up to their eyeballs. And I said this to him as well. I also told him, why don't you start this campaign? The one thing that people don't realize is we're so already overburdened with so much. I'm 19, 20 hours a day still doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I get done with the show, I'll be doing my own show. And
bless your heart.
So then I've got, you know, I got a variety of different topics I'm dealing with there. And then again, on top of that, I get calls from all over the world. I'm not just getting calls from North America, the Caribbean, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, India, Africa, throughout Europe, throughout South America. So I get these calls all the time, like he just mentioned, where people are saying, well, I got this, I got that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of them don't have money, so it's pro bono. So when plus I'm doing my own particular work and dealing with this nano poisoning. So the communitarian thing is the issue, but it's already going on. And the fact that they got everybody wearing a mask for nothing. They already got people in this kind of community mentality. And this, and all that's been going on, all that has been transpiring, is this has been a training segment for Americans and Canadians to surrender their individuality, surrender their rights and their freedom. Like that elderly lady was speaking regarding to how things were 40 years ago and she was ready to fight. You know, even now she's ready to fight because that has been ingrained in her to have that individual aspect of it. We have a whole generation that doesn't even know what that means anymore. So it's tough to hit on everything. And it may be a serious subject matter, and I'm not saying it isn't. But I think more and more people need to take the bull by the horn. You can't have or think that one person can do it all. It's, even when I do my shows, even on my Skype network, I got about 40, 45 people that send me stuff daily. Daily. That's why the shows are so good, because the information is coming from all over the world, not just from the United States or Canada. I'm getting stuff from Germany, Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, the United Kingdom, you know, Norway, Baltic countries, Romania, Bulgaria, Macedonia, Croatia, Serbia, I mean, from all over. So when they send me their perspective of what's going on in their countries, that also is getting exposed on my show. So I'm not trying to diminish what he is saying. I'm saying he needs to take the bull by the horns and start getting that going. You know, and other people need to do the same thing. If you have an agenda of any kind, if I'm already doing it, I would utilize that information. But if I'm not doing that kind of thing, my plate is overloaded. I had another guy come up to me a couple weeks ago wanting me to take over something that he didn't want to touch. I said, bud, I'm already global. I'm already doing things. I've already got my plate full. You need to take the bull by the horns. See, I hate it when sometimes when people are trying to get you to do stuff and they themselves won't lift a finger.
Yes.
I mean, they want you to do it. Now your bullseye gets 10 times bigger because you're doing something else. Right. But they themselves will not lift a finger. And I'm not saying he's not doing it, the guy just called. I'm just saying that more and more people that are seeing the truth in whatever perspective or reality they're looking at, they need to take the bull by the horns themselves, step up to the plate. Have that attitude that 80-year-old woman just had.
I think people look at you and they say, wow, this is the guy that can really vocalize my fears and can really vocalize what's going on. So accept it as a compliment and then just say, thank you so much for thinking of me. I appreciate it, but I'm going to have to say no. You got to set your boundaries.
Well, I do, and I do set my boundaries. And
yes.
But my point is, like I said, I'm already tapped to the gills here. And,
sure.
What is required more is more people. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Like everybody opened up their window and started screaming. I'm mad as hell. Well, this is what needs to be done in regarding to these agendas that are going up there. This is your way of saying I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. And you're going to start, you know, you're the one that's going to initiate the information to the general population.
Right.
So
you have to have passion for what you're doing.
True. Yeah, true. I mean, anybody who's a truther or an awakened person has passion. You know, but that passion will only go so far. It can only take you to whatever limits you are. Like I said, I'm constantly doing research on this, nano assault that we've been exposed to. I'm now dealing with frequency assaults. I got targeted individuals contacting me all the time, what to do, how to defend. I'm constantly trying to come up with different affordable technology that people can build themselves to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. I just made this electroporation device that I can now. So let's say you had a compromised gut and you couldn't eat. But you needed, let's say, some zinc. So we put a little zinc on your skin, put the plates on your body, allow it to pulse. Now it's gone into the system.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the zinc flowing through the body and it's now doing its thing, protecting you or doing whatever. So this is something I will be showing on the YouTube. I got to just get to it. I've been still tinkering with it. I've been still trying to perfect it, making it a little bit easier. But again, this all takes time. I'm up, like I said, 19, 20 hours a day. Sometimes I don't go to bed till 6 in the morning. And I'm up like that. So like I said, I've heard
your plate is full. Your plate's full.
And my night.
Oh well, yeah, your plate and your nights are full.
This is why I'm glad I'm single. Because no relationship would last under this circumstance.
Right. Alrighty, let's take another, caller. Ken in New York, Ken.
Hello. I have a question for Tony.
Whoops.
Okay, sure.
We'll be right back. Sorry. Oh, and if you're going to sell your property, don't sell it to anybody from China. just an addendum to that commercial. Okay, Ken in New York, you had a question really quick because we're just about out of time.
Yes. What is your opinion about using ozone? I have a pair of generators, and I go through each room on the weekend, just close the door, let them get saturated, and then wait for it to either recombine or change back to, you know, breathable oxygen.
As long as you're using high doses of vitamin C and copper, you should be okay.
All right. So you don't breathe this stuff because it will, you know, it's definitely not good for you. Irritate you, but
you're enriching the oxygen levels in the system, so it can produce peroxides in your body. So you use the C and the copper to neutralize the peroxides.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. All right, thank you, Ken. Take care. Okay, John in California. John?
Hello, Deanna. Hello, Tony. Yeah, Tony, thank you. It's a good show, and I like all the stuff. It's like that. I've been listening for all the years, and what's nice, you get all these good, and there may be different ways of doing it, but it all comes down to the same thing, too. You know, you study, you come up with it, and you can take care of it without having to rely on pharmaceuticals, doctors, and all that. That's what I appreciate. I like the Howard Beale rendition where they're right, but I think what happens, a lot of these people don't go beyond. They open the door, says, I'm mad as hell, but I'm going to take it some more. And they don't go beyond that. And I kind of laugh at that. I make jokes about that. But yeah, thanks a lot for doing that. And I've followed advice from a lot of people here and in other places, and it's helped me a lot. I know I feel I'm crying in the wilderness. My family, they don't want to talk about it. They think I'm on the other side, conspiracy theorist. And, I love them all. I don't want to bust them all up going beyond that. It just says, okay, you read what you want. You find out, but make sure, you know, it's safe for you and your family, your children and all that. And for that note, yeah, continue on it. And, thanks a lot for all your interesting advice.
Thank you so much, John. Alrighty, gosh, 3 hours went by really, really fast.
And we didn't even get to the main topic.
we kind of did. We covered what we wanted to cover. Just say no. And I just want to wish my wonderful producer, happy birthday. I know he's not going to be happy that I'm telling you this, but it's his birthday today. He is a fabulous, fabulous producer, knowledgeable. He's always right on top of everything. He's great. And just keep him in your prayers for all the stuff that he does for producing the program. And, just for being here and for being him. So, happy birthday, my friend. Okay. Take care. All righty. Bye-bye. Talk with you next week. Thank you, Tony.
Talk to you then.